Oh, it's directly accessible data on a computer, in a modern, typical modern machine, is the pipe. Now, of course, you know, as electrical computer engineer would quickly point out, is you can't access bits of a computer. But what I'm talking about is the typical programmable computer. I'm not talking about a computer that's in your toaster or a computer that's in your robot. I'm talking about a typical desktop workstation, for example. And that typically those things are both the hardware and the supporting software, that is operating system, are designed to allow you access to bytes, not bits, basically. Not directly to get the bits. So you can, the smallest thing you can get to directly to byte. A byte is 8 bits. The byte, if you think of it as a number, its range of values goes from 8 zeros on the low end to 8 ones on the high end. And think about that, that's 2 to the 8th choices of 0 and 1 in each slide, which means you've got 256 possible values for that byte. 2 to the 8th is 256. And those values go from 0 through 2 to the 8th minus 1. So the 0 is the lowest number represented by byte, and 255 is the highest number represented by byte. Now, you can also, you can represent that as binary, and that would be the binary representation. The numbers I was just mentioning, of course, were decimal numbers, right? When humans talk numbers, the default representation is decimal. That's kind of one of our agreements in modern society, right? If somebody says 5, they mean 5 base 10. They don't mean 5 base 8. Right? Of course, 5 base 10 and 5 base 8 actually are the same thing. But 50 base 10 and 50 base 8 are not the same thing. So we mean base 10 when we don't specify anything else. But in certain programming situations, it's much more convenient to use other representations besides base 10. And the one that's most typically convenient is hexadecimal. And the reason hexadecimal is most typically convenient is that it maps directly to bytes in a way that decimals don't really do as well. For example, and from bytes to bits. So this one byte entity with nothing but zeros is represented by 3 zeros in octal, 1 zero in decimal, and a double zero in base 16. And the reason for putting 3 zeros here and 2 zeros here and only 1 here is another convention that people accept and often don't explicitly state. And that is that when we talk about octal representations, we generally include the leading zeros of a representation. Because that tells you the sort of size of the container for the number. And definitely for hexadecimal, it's also typically done. So 00 in hex tells you that we're talking about a full byte of information. So it's more than just the number 0. It's the number 0 is represented by 8 bits equal to 0. One hexadecimal digit represents 4 bits. 2 to the 4th is 16 bits. So those, that represents 0 through 15 decimal, or 0 through F, all 16 digits in the hexadecimal alphabet. So one hex digit represents 4 bits. Two hex digits represents exactly 8 bits, or one byte. So each byte in a computer can be represented by 2 hexadecimal digits. And that's the reason hex is often used, because it gives you a direct mapping down into the bytes that are represented in hardware. But throughout all of this, you've got to keep in mind that the machine only knows bits. It's humans that invent these higher level bases. And so you don't store a hexadecimal number in the machine. You store a binary version of that hexadecimal number. And it's only the human stuff that cares about the hexadecimal representation. So when we output a number, the question is what representation you want to output as. And in C++, the default is typically decimal, but you can change it to hexadecimal. And you can input a number and tell it what notation to expect. The default would be decimal, but you can tell it to expect hexadecimal notation, and it'll expect that instead. But don't confuse that with somehow it's storing a hexadecimal number in the machine. What the computer will do is read that hex notation, convert it to binary, and store it to binary number in the machine. It's no accident, but worth remarking that the size of an ASCII care data item is a byte. Type care is used by systems folks and probably computer engineers as well. It's kind of a euphemism for a byte, often. But when they say type care, they don't necessarily mean, they don't think of it as a letter, but rather as a byte. And hence these rather cryptic type unsigned care. That's a legitimate type in C and C++, unsigned care. And that really means, okay, we're talking about bytes, and we're gonna think of them as zero through 255 as opposed to minus 124 through plus 125 or something like that. Now, the interesting thing is that C++ provide access to individual bits, but it's done through bit operations as opposed to direct hardware access. C++, of course, we can build a class around these bit operations, and that's what we're going to do in this chapter. So let's just review the bit operations. C, native C, and inherited into C++ has the AND operator, the bitwise OR operator, bitwise XOR operator, the bitwise NOT operator, the bitwise left shift, and the bitwise right shift. Now, these are the native C definitions of these operators, not the overloads in some cases that you see in typical C++. These operate on individual bits of a byte or any other word that might consist of multiple bytes that you can store in a register somewhere. And the first four at least operate bitwise, meaning that the corresponding bits in the byte are the ones that interact with each other. Now they each have each of these has the operator notation, and the ones that are binary also have the accumulator versions of those, where you can do like the AND equals, the bar equals, and the caret equals. And these operate just like plus equals and star equals and so on. So this would mean take Z and take Y and do bitwise AND it to replace Z with the bitwise AND of the old Z and Y. So here's some example calculations. Oh, I forgot to talk about shifts. The shifts just simply move the bits in the direction pointed to by the sort of arrows. So the left shift one means move the bits to the left in the register. Left means towards the left. Well, you gotta ask yourself, well, how do you know what's left in this thing, right? You know, there's a pipe down there. What's the left end of the pipe? Well, the left end is the one that has the higher, it represents the higher powers of two in a numerical setting. So when you do a left shift of a byte, you're moving the 1's bit to the 2's bit, and the 2's bit to the 4's bit, and the 4's bit to the 8's bit, and the 8's bit to the 16's bit, all the way up to 64. And the 64 bit is moved out of the register and falls off into the bit bucket. And so if you do, and a right shift is the same, so it moves in another direction towards the smaller powers of 2 instead of higher powers of 2. So here is the value of X, and here's the value of Y. So what does it mean to let the X left shift by Y? Well, that is the number of times you shift. So everything's gonna move to the left two places. So you see there's only one non-zero bit here. You see it moves from this slot and then to this slot. So it should end up right here, and that's where you see it move over two slots. And here, it's gonna move over three slots, so it should end up there. Oh, I'm sorry. It's gonna move right three slots. Should end up there, and that's where it is. The bitwise AND of X and Y. Here's X, here's Y, the bitwise AND. You do it at each bit. So 1 and 0 is 0. 0 and 0, I'm sorry. 0 and 0 is 0. Pretty tedious. 1 and 1 is 1. Here in the narrative. Just so you'll know, the official definition of AND bitwise is given by this thing, which is kind of a truth table. The only way you can get one out of AND is if the two arguments are equal to one. Otherwise, it's always zero. Or kind of the opposite, you get one unless they're both equal to zero. And then you go to zero. Think of one as being true, zero is false. So true and false is false. True and true is true. But one or false is true. I'm sorry. True or false is true. One time you get false with OR is if they're both of those false. Exclusive OR means exactly one is true and the other one is false. And so the exclusive OR of two things is going to have the value true when exactly one of the two inputs is true. Otherwise, it's going to be false when either they're both false or both true. And of course, not is just flipping them in, basically. So that's it, well, I've just been talking about these bid operations. And you might legitimately ask yourself, you know, why do I want to do this? Just because I can, it's not good enough, right? And what you'll see is that bid vectors can be important, calculational, important tools in a program. And when you do your first, well, your second homework, your first programming assignment, called the Civ Veritasthenes, you will be using bit vectors to implement the Civ Veritasthenes. And so what we're going to do is talk about how to make a bit vector class, and what it's going to do is use these bitwise operations to efficiently manipulate bits. So what we want to be able to do with a bit vector, we want it to be an object. And we want it to have a notion of bit, that bit value, which can be 0 or 1. And we want to be able to have as many bits, well, in principle, as many bits as we'd like. So let's say we want 1,000 bits. We should be able to declare a bit vector that's 1,000 bits in it. And it gives us access to each individual bit in that bit vector. To either make it, and the way we're going to access it is indirectly, because remember, there's no direct access to bits in the computer. The smallest thing you can directly access is the byte, not the bit. So we're going to, you know, the stuff we've got to do here. But the public interface of a bit vector will have some methods. One will be set. And that will mean make that bit equal to 1. You'll notice there are two versions of set on the slide. The first one is the one that has a parameter. So if you do set 72, that'll make the 72th bit equal to 1. If you do set with no parameters, it makes all bits equal. And then there's unset, which is unset 72 makes the 72nd bit or bit 72 equal 0. And unset with no parameters makes all bits in the bit vector. Then it's flip. Flip 72 will say change the bit value from whatever it is to whatever it isn't. And since it's a two-value thing, that uniquely tells you what it has to do. It's 1 make it 0, 0 make it 1. And finally, there's a test function that says test 72. And that's supposed to determine the value of this bit. Remember, you can't get to it directly, so we have to sort of figure out what is the value of the bit. And it's going to return the value as an int, which would be 0 or 1. So that's where we will have set, unset, flip, and test. And that pretty much exhausts the things we'll be able to do with individual bits and bit vectors. We'll have a constructor, which will take a single parameter, which is the number of bits we would like to have. We'll have a copy constructor. We'll have a destructor. We'll have an assignment operator. Oh, and we'll have a size method that will tell us how many bits we got. So does everybody see what we want to do here? We want to be able to declare a bit vector and set bits in that bit vector, flip bits in that bit vector, unset bits. We want to know how many bits we've got at any given point, and size will tell us that. Now let's talk about the game plan for the implementation. And you probably can think of a very simple way to do this, which is to just make yourself an array of, let's say, integers, and just give them each a value of 0 or 1. It'll behave just like a bit vector. But, I mean, our purpose in doing it, our purpose, though, is to try to do something efficient. There's a couple of things having to do with efficient that I should point out. One is we want to make it memory efficient. So we really want to be using individual bits, not two-byte entities representing bits. So we really want to get into the hardware and flip bits when we say flip. And the other thing is computational efficiency. Those C operations, those bitwise operations, have hardware support in modern computers. So the development of C as a systems programming language and the development of modern CPUs went hand in hand. And the modern CPU has direct computation of all those bitwise operations. So when I do bitwise AND, it can be done in one clock cycle of the machine. Bitwise OR at the same time. When I do left shift by 3, it can be done in maybe one clock cycle, maybe 3 clock cycles. I'm not sure, which might depend on the machine, but in a very small number of clock cycles. Certainly left shift by 1 can be done in one clock cycle. So by going the extra mile, so to speak, and getting to the individual bits, we will get things that will compute faster and use space efficient. And that's what we want to do here. Because, for example, when we do the Civ Veritasthenes, you're going to be asking your application to compute all prime numbers, say, less than 50,000, and you want to do it fast. So the plan will be, you put that other line on the phone. So, what we're going to do is declare ourselves an array of pipes to be an array of care. Okay. Care being the equivalent of a pipe. But what that array is going to represent to us, each element of that array is going to represent 8 bits. And we want to think of our mental picture of that array to be an array of some number of care. I don't say how many that is. And we're going to think of that lining up like this. I'm pretty sure we'll have there's the index 0 byte, and here's the index 1 byte, and here's the index 2 byte. Here's the index 3 byte. Now, inside of each one of those bytes, you're going to have individual bits. Right? So, like that. There's a byte number. So you put a bit in each one of those slots and so on. And it's these bits that really are going to be a bit vector. So the first thing I tell you is that when I make this array of a certain number of bytes, there's going to be 8 times that many bits. So if this array has 100 bytes, it's going to be 800 bits. And therefore, the size method will return 800, not 100, for the size of the bit vector. Okay. And the second thing is we've got to do is figure out, well, how do we get access to a specific bit? So suppose we want to get access to a bit. Let's do bit 20. We'll start counting with 0. So this will be bit 0, 1, 2, through 7, right? This will be bit 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and so on. So there's another. That's 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So right there is bit 20. How do we get to that? I mean, that's all. You got to do it in stages. You got to do it in 2 stages. The first thing you got to know is what is the array index of the byte that contains the bit that I'm looking for. I can get that by taking 20 and dividing it by 8. Integer division, 20 over 8 is what number? Remember, let's talk about it. So division, 20 divided by 8 is 2. 2, so the quotient is 2, and the remainder is 4. Right? It's the quotient that's the result of the division. 2. Notice 2. So you get the index, the array index for the byte containing a bit by dividing the bit index by 8. Integer division. So the array index is going to be the bit index divided by 8. Integer division. Well, that's part of it. That means we at least found where our bit is. How can we get our hands on that particular bit? That's the next question. Getting your hands on a particular bit will require some sleight of hand, if you like, because we can't get a direct bit access in the machine. And that's the way we do that is with the concept of a mask. What a mask does is block out everything except the window that contains the bit we want to look at. So in this case, our mask let's see, so this index was in our case, too. And if the mask we want is something that if we bitwise and with that byte, it will annihilate everything except possibly the bit we're looking at. So we want a zero, the mask has to have a zero, and a zero, zero, one, zero, 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 zero. So that's our mask needs to be 0001000. That's a byte. What that's what the decimal numbers are. Well, let me think. What decimal number is that? It might be easier to say what hexadecimal number is. Hexadecimal number, OX is hex, tells you you're using hex notation in C++. Hexadecimal number, well, it's what number is that byte? One, right? What number is that like? Zero. So that's X one. But you know, being able to figure it out by drawing a picture isn't going to help a lot. We need an algorithm or computation to tell us what that mask is. And what I want to point out is that that mask is obtained from one, the number one, which is, what is the number one? The number one looks like this in a register. There's the number one. It's a single byte representation of the number one. It's got the rightmost bit is set, and the rest of them zero. Right? What if I took this and left shifted it a few notches? I could get it over to be this place, the mask that I want. And how many places would I have to left shift it? One, two, three, four. And what was four but the remainder when we divided these two numbers? So the mask will be the number one, which I'm going to write in hex notation, OX01, that's a byte, that's this byte, left shifted by the bit index, well, I'm going to just put, I'm going to put R, remainder. So let me recap. The array index, somebody that said, okay, I want bit 20, you take 20 divided by 8, which is the size of a byte, 52, that's the array index. That tells you which byte it's in. Now, the mask for that byte that you want is obtained by taking the number one and left shifting it by the remainder when you make that same division. Okay, so those are two ingredients, those are two key ideas in the computation together. Let me tell you a couple of other interesting things to note here. A is a power of 2. Probably not saying that. Suppose I want to divide a number by 2. Let's say that number is in a register. It might be easier to think about multiplying by 2 first. If I want to multiply by 2, this is a binary system. This is a binary notation. So multiplication by 2 effectively will move all the bits up one notch in this register. Multiplication by 2 is the same as left shift. And remember what I said, left shift is a hardware support. So while multiplication of numbers in general is a time-consuming thing for a computer to do, requiring an algorithm, multiplication by 2 is the same as left shift. And that's the key as to why people wanted the left shift operator in C. It's multiplication by 2. And similarly, right shift is division by 2. Remember I'm talking about integer division. So when I divide by 8, it's the same as right shift by 3. 8 is 2 times 2 times 2. So dividing by 8 is dividing by 2 3 times, which is right shifting 3 times. That's the quotient when you divide by 8. The remainder when you divide by 8 is those 3 bits that fell off into the bit bucket when you did the shift. And you can get them with another mask. Those are the 3 rightmost bits. And you can get them. You can get the 3 rightmost bits with this mask. The 3 rightmost bits of a byte will be that mask and the byte. This is the 3 right bits, which in fact is the same thing as the remainder when the byte is divided by 8, which is 2 cubed. So there's two more things here. You can get you use this, that, and a bitwise AND operation, which is one computer cycle. To compute this division by eight, or remainder when you divide by eight. So we can get, we multiply by eight with the right, with the left shift. We get the remainder when you divide by eight by masking with this number, which is, by the way, the number of, is that seven? Seven. So that's x, O, X, O, seven. So masking, bitwise adding with this gives you the remainder when you divide by eight. Left shifting by three gives you the quotient. I'm sorry, right shifting by three gives you the quotient when you divide by eight. So those both have hardware support and you don't even want to cost them. So now we're getting somewhere, because that gives you all the ingredients to finding this bit that can be done with print with native hardware operations. So this was the public interface with BitVector. Now here's the implementation plan. I'm going to have some private stuff, some private data and some private methods. The private data is, I'm going to have a byte array, we talked about that. And whenever you have an array, you got to remember how big it is. So we'll have a size T variable called byte array size, which tells how big that array is. The methods are going to be a byte number method, and that's going to take a bit index and return of an array index. And that's basically going to be divided by 8. Hardware support. And the other one is going to be the mask, which is takes an index and returns the mask. It will zero in on that bit in that byte. So between byte number and mask, we can zero in on a specific bit in this bit. So our byte number, we want to return the index divided by 8, but shift right 3 is equivalent to dividing by 8. Got hardware support, and so we'll just take index, shift it right by 3, and return index. Looks cryptic, but that's a hardware supported division operation. And the mask, we want to return the mask for the index remainder divided by 8. And that's the low order of 3 bits. And so we do that by masking with OX07, bitwise adding the index, that gives us the low 3 bits. So that's the amount we want to shift. And then we just take 1 and shift it to the left by that amount. So that's our mask. So it's 1. Shifted to the left by the remainder when you divide the index by 8. And all the everything on this slide, all these operations have direct hardware support, so they're really fast. Now we start talking about implementing the public methods. First of all, the constructor. You notice that this doesn't have a parameterless constructor, so it's not a so-called proper type. You want to know this means this. And what you want to do is you want a byte array size to be some just enough to have that many bits. And it turns out the number of bits plus 7 divided by 8 is just enough. You've got to figure that out. And then you create an array of that size. Of course, all this is doing is testing to be sure you've got the memory allocation that you requested. And then we initialize them all to 0 for good measure. So they all become, all these bytes get to be the 0 byte, which of course makes all the bits be a 0 bit. So that's the constructor. And here, for example, the set and the test operations. So remember the deal, you're coming in with an index, and we want to set the bit represented by the index. So we first compute its byte number. That's basically the index divided by 8, right? Then we access the byte at that index. And what we'll do here is OR it with the mask. So, you know, you've got your byte array right here. And so this is some index. This is some, what do we call it? The byte number. And then the mask, you know, let's say that's the bid we want. So we're looking at that bid right there. And the mask for that bid would be 0001000. That would be the mask. And to guarantee that that bid gets set, we take the bite, B, and we replace it with the bitwise org with the mask. Now, in every place except where the one is, that has no effect on anything. Bitwise ORing a zero into something doesn't change its value. But bitwise ORing with a one guarantees that the value is one. So that has the effect of not changing any of the bits except the one you wanted to change and making sure that it has a value one at the outcome. Test is kind of interesting too, because you come in with an index, you want to know whether it's 0 or 1. That's what you want to know. So you compute the byte number, that tells you which element of the array to look at. And then you look at that element of the array, that's what that is. And then you're going to bitwise AND that with the mask and ask whether or not that's 0. Now notice I'm not changing the value of the bit, I'm just trying to figure out what that value is. So here, I'm not doing B equals B something, I'm just doing B bitwise AND with the mask. And note that there's two possible values for that. It can either be all zeros, but the only question mark is here. The mask is, so when I bitwise AND with that mask, certainly everything except the bit that I'm interested in will be zero after this computation. And the question mark will be that bit, that's the one I want to know the value of. Well, if that bit is zero, then this is zero, right? If that bit is non-zero, then this has some value depending on where it is. It could be 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, right? But if it's any of those numbers, it's non-zero. So this question mark being 1 makes this byte non-zero. This question mark being 0 makes this byte being 0, equals 0. So testing whether that entity is non-zero or not is equivalent to testing for the value of that bit. Now, some of y'all know me enough to interrupt if you want to go over something. And so those are the kind of one-liners that all the rest of the public methods use. This might fail, of course. This is why I haven't tested yet with the new technology. Those are link errors, by the way, caused by not having the source code for those things. So here's a testing bit vector. Enter the size of the bit vector we would like to test. Why don't we shoot for 50? So we got a bit vector, and we want to look at it. So let's display it first of all. It came to life looking like that. Remember, we initialized everything to zero. We can do a set with no parameters, and that's supposed to be the capital version. No set all. We can do flip we asked for 50 bids, so we should be able to put, flip bid 50, no, 49, right? That'd be the 50th bid. Where do you think that bid's gonna show up? Huh?
What then?
Well, I'm just laying it, the way people think of bid makers, not, so, the left end was a good guess. But the real point was, you guessed it would be at the end, and you can see that it's not at the end. It's here. Now, let me say that these are being displayed like a client would lay out bid makers. When we lay out vectors, we have the index 0 on the left and then 1 and 2. So we index this way. That our implementation is irrelevant to the client program. So this is the way we think of a bid maker. The question is, why is bid 49 here and not here at the end?
That's where it's at.
This is going to be a multiple of 8, and 50 is not. This is going to be 56 bits, not multiple of 8. And so that would be bit 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, which is 56 bits. Okay? And so when I do size, I must have, well, that's supposed to be set. I'm going to set 0. How about unset? There's a 0. Oh, I didn't test the size function, I guess. Oh, well. Anyway, the size method is there, and it would return, I didn't put it in this desk cards, but for some reason, probably because I couldn't think of another way to have a letter guess. But the size of this thing would be, you know, some multiple of 8. It's going to be 8 times the size of the byte vector of this private data. So what it doesn't do is remember the specific number that the client requested. The client requested 50, if you recall. It made the minimum size bit vector to have 50 bits, which happens to be 56 bits, index 0 through 55. Now, I'm going to unset all of this. And I'll do that with the capital U. And let's do the Civil Veritasinates while we're at it here. The way the Civil Veritasinates goes is, I'm going to set, all of this. I'm going to then clear bits that are not prime. So I will clear, or unset, I mean, unset 0 because it's not a prime. Unset 1 because it's not a prime. I'm going to leave 2 alone because it's prime, right? That's what I have so far. 2 is a prime. So now what I want to say is that 2 is a prime, so I'm going to unset all of its multiples. Its multiples are 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. Makes me wish I'd done less than 50 anyway. Unset 22, unset 24, unset 26, unset 28, unset 30. Make sure I haven't messed up anymore. Unset 32, unset 34, unset 36, unset 38, unset 40, unset 42, unset 44, unset 46, unset 48, unset 50, unset 52, I'm going to go all the way up to 55, unset 54. Now I'm going to go to the next one, which is index 3. I'm going to, because that's a 1, I will know that it's prime, and I'm going to then unset all the multiples of 3. So unset 6, unset 9, unset 12, unset 15, unset 18, unset 21, unset 24, unset 27, unset 30, unset 33, unset 36, unset 39, unset 42, unset 45, unset 48, unset 51, unset 54. Okay, next, but I go up to here, and that's gotta be prime, because it's indexed as one, what is that, five? Yeah, five, so I now want to unsaddle the multiples of five. That'd be 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Now I go up to the next one, which is that one, which is 7. That's prime because its index is 1, so I'll unset the multiples of 7, which is 14, 21, 28, 35, 42. Is 42 multiple 7?
Yeah.
And what's next? 49. And that's it. 56 is too high for the vector. So that was 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, I would do multiples of 11. I can actually stop now because 11 squared is bigger than 55, which is how many indexes I've got. And so, so let's just go ahead and do 11. So we unset 22. Unset 33, unset 44, and unset 55. That's really as far as you need to go, I think. So you get, but in principle, you could keep doing this until you got up to it. You really have to stop at the square root of the number of bits. Anyway, so now what you have is everywhere there's a 1, the index of that is a prime number, and everywhere there's a 0, the index of that is a non prime number. That's the sale of possible. And of course, you probably noticed that I was mindlessly unsetting bits that had already been previously unset. And that turns out, since unsetting a bit is a direct hardware operation, it's cheaper to unset it than it is to check to see if it needs unsetting. So you just do that. So what your homework 2 is going to be is to implement the Silver Tosinase using a bit vector object, just as I did here. I'm a half hour over. Between my watch being on each time and that clock being on Mars time, it's kind of hard for me to keep track of. I guess why don't we adjourn and then we'll